says in her book, Return to Love, that we're always walking in the direction of one or the other, that all of your actions in life, either you're moving toward the darkness or you're moving toward the light.
That's right.
She calls it fear and love. There's this wonderful book called Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which is, anyway, it's a gorilla talking, but anyway. It talks about, one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human being.
How do you please
being,
God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
amazing.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
Yeah.
If you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
So, what would God say to our friend Oprah, huh? Well, let me tell you what I think God would say to Oprah. I think he would say, Oprah, you are right, and Oprah, you are wrong. I think he would say, Oprah, when it comes to your kindness, when it comes to your love and compassion for people, when it comes to your generosity, when it comes to your benevolence and your beneficence, when it comes to your giving attitude, you are so right. But Oprah, when it comes to your view about how people get into heaven, you are so wrong. And we want to talk about that tonight. You know, Oprah was raised by her grandmother in Mississippi, and she went to church every single week down there. As a matter of fact, as a young girl, she even dreamed of growing up to be a missionary. After being on television and interviewing a steady stream of New Age gurus, however, Oprah's religious beliefs began to shift dramatically. Her former pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, in Chicago, said this of Oprah, and I quote, he says, she has broken with the traditional faith. She now has this sort of God is everywhere, God is in me, I don't need to go to church, I don't need to be part of a body of believers, I can meditate, I can do positive thinking. He said, it's a strange gospel, it has nothing to do with the church Jesus Christ founded. End of quote. And we see that shift most dramatically when it comes to Oprah's position on salvation. Here's what she said, and I quote, one of the biggest mistakes humans make is to believe that there is only one way. Actually, there are many diverse paths leading to what you call God. There couldn't possibly be only one way. End of quote. Well, folks, heaven doesn't belong to Oprah. And it belongs to God. And therefore, Oprah does not decide who gets in and who doesn't get in. That is something God decides. And so tonight, we want to talk about what God says in the Bible about how people get into heaven, how people get eternal life. And then we want to talk about, well, what difference does what we discover tonight going to make in terms of how you live and how I live every single day. So that's our plan for the evening. And we begin with John 14, verse 6, probably the single most significant passage that Jesus anywhere ever said about how people get into heaven. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets into heaven. No one gets eternal life except through me. Would you notice here that Jesus makes it patently clear that sincerity is not the basis on which God lets people into heaven. Jesus makes it clear that zeal for God is not the basis upon which God lets people into heaven. I mean, there are zealous Catholic people who attend Mass every day. There are zealous Jewish people who keep kosher and go to synagogue every day. There are sincere Muslims who pray 5 times a day and make their pilgrimage to Mecca. There are zealous Hindus who touch no beef products and bathe in the Ganges. There are sincere Baptists who don't drink or smoke or cuss or chew or hang around with them, which do, if you understand what I'm saying. And then we have the sincere secular Americans who pay their taxes, who drive hybrid automobiles and who recycle. And yet Jesus says, none of these things is going to get anybody into heaven. The only basis upon which God grants entry into heaven is personal faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go back and review what he said. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. Nobody, there's the key word, no one gets into heaven, gets eternal life, comes to the Father, unless they do it by way of me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which we can be delivered. You know, I had a man come into my office a couple of Tuesdays ago, and he was born in a Hindu home. He was raised in a Buddhist country, and he's living here in the United States now. And so he came in and he said to me, well, he said, Pastor Solomon, I'm here because I want to offer my services to volunteer here at McLean Bible Church. Well, you know, we're all over it when somebody wants to volunteer. And so I said to him, wow, that's great. I said, just tell me first, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? He said, well, yes, I am. He said, I'm also a follower of Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius and everybody else that tries to help people get to God. I said, well, we got a little problem here. I said, what about Jesus' statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Nobody comes to God except through me. You know, what about that statement? And he says, well, I believe that there are many ways to get to God in heaven, not just one. And I said, well, sir, the problem with your view is that it's wrong, you know. And he said, well, that's according to what you believe. And I said, no, that is according to what Jesus Christ said in the Bible. And he said to me, listen, Pastor Solomon, he said, you need to show people more respect. He said, you need to give people freedom to choose whatever way they want to try to get to God and get to heaven. And I said, well, you know what? I do grant people that freedom. It's just that none of those other ways are going to work. They're all dead end streets. And he said, well, that's according to what you believe. I said, no, let me repeat John 14:6 to you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to heaven unless they come by way of me. And I said, my friend, Jesus was either a lunatic or he was telling the truth. So which do you believe? Do you believe Jesus was a lunatic? And he said, well, that's only what Jesus said according to what you believe. And we went round and round and round. Folks, it was like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. You understand what I'm saying? Now, there are a lot of people in our world who are just like this man. They struggle with the idea that God dispenses heaven and that God dispenses eternal life only to those who have embraced Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And maybe you're one of these people here tonight. And if you are, then I'd like to say you have come to the right place this evening. Because we're going to see if we can't straighten that out right here tonight and convince you that the Bible really does say this and the Bible really is airtight about this. Now, what does the Bible say about getting into heaven and eternal life? Well, we saw John 14:6, but let's look at some other verses. John 3:36, Jesus said, whoever believes in the Son, meaning himself, has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son, watch, will not see eternal life. For God's wrath, God's judgment, literally sits or rests on that person. John 3:18, Jesus said, whoever does not believe in Jesus Christ stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, John writes, and this is the record, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Watch, he who has the Son has eternal life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. How can you say it any clearer than that? And then let me remind you what Peter said, Acts 4, verse 12. He said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not Muhammad, not Joseph Smith, not Rabbi anybody. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be delivered. And just in case there's any doubt, let me close it with this last verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul writes, God will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and will be shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Or friends, we could just put it in the very simple terms that Jesus put it. No one comes to the Father. No one gets into heaven or gets eternal life except through me. This is the consistent, this is the unbroken claim of the Bible, and it is unequivocal. You say, well, Lon, but you know what? I got some real objections to this. Well, okay, fair enough. Let's hear what they are. You say, all right, well, here's my first objection. You know, aren't you being just a little bit intolerant? I mean, aren't you being just a little bit narrow to say there's only one way to get to heaven? You know, don't you think that's just a little narrow? Well, friends, listen, there's a lot of things in our world there's only one way to do. For example, there's only one way to add 2 + 2 in our world. In our world, there is only one way to land a jet aircraft on an aircraft carrier. In our world, there is only one way to launch the nuclear arsenal of the United States of America. You know, in our world, there is only one way to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or me. Only one way to do this. And so why does it offend us when God says there's only one way for us to get into heaven? There are a lot of things in our world there's only one way to do. You say, all right, maybe so. But what I don't understand then, my second objection is, why in the world would God be so unfair to people who don't believe in Jesus Christ? I mean, it seems like saying if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. I mean, that just seems totally unfair. Well, you know, just asking a question like that shows that spiritually you've got the emphasis on the wrong syllable. You understand what I'm saying? Listen to me now. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, the Bible says, sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and so death passed on all men, because we are members of his race. The Bible teaches that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, they brought a flaw upon the entire human race, a flaw that the Bible calls our sin nature. It's like a defective gene that every one of us is born with. And the result of being born with this defective gene is that every one of us, Ephesians chapter 3 says, is born spiritually dead, alienated from God, separated from God, and under God's judgment. Now, in his mercy, listen, in his mercy, God made a way for us to escape. In his mercy, God made a way for us to get out of this predicament. But friends, if a person rejects God's way of deliverance, if he or she rejects God's way of mercy, and they end up experiencing God's judgment, how does that make God unfair? How does that make God mean and cruel? Of course it doesn't. You know, I take trips to Israel every year, and we always write people and we say to them, get travel insurance. Lots of things can go wrong. You can get sick. Somebody you love can get sick. I mean, there can be all kinds of problems. Get travel insurance, because the tour company, it's not my company, but the tour company I work with, their penalties are firm. We put that in capital letters on the brochure. We write people a first letter, a second letter, a third letter. We say, get travel insurance. So I had this lady call me up a couple years ago, 2 days before we're leaving. 2 days. And she said, you know, I changed my mind, and I don't really want to go. She said, there's really nothing wrong, but I've changed my mind. I don't really want to go. And she said, I've got some sickness in the family, and I don't really feel I can go. And I said, well, did you get travel insurance? And she said, no. And I said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, the tour company's rules are firm. I mean, it's not like you're 6 weeks away from going where maybe something could be done. You're 2 days away from going. They purchased airline tickets. They paid for hotel rooms and blah, paid for guides. And I mean, I said, I'm sorry. You know, the cancellation penalty is 100%. It's there, clear as a bell for you to see. Why didn't you get travel insurance? She said, well, I was kind of waiting until the last minute because I didn't want to stress out my visa bill. I said, well, you know, I'm sorry. I understand about stressing out your visa bill. But I said, ma'am, you should have gotten travel insurance. We wrote you 4 times and told you to get travel insurance. And I said, now, I don't think there's nothing I can do to help you. She said, how can you be so unfair? She said to me, how can that tour company be so unfair? She said, this is the most unfair, unrighteous thing I've ever seen happen. And I said, wait a minute. Let me make sure I understand this now. Give me a second. We write you and tell you four times to get travel insurance. Months and months and months ago. We tell you ahead of time that the penalties are firm. You choose not to go get travel insurance. And then at the last minute when something happens, you say, we are unfair. Is that right? She said, exactly right. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I just don't really see it like that. Now, friends, was the tour company unfair to her? Were they? No. Now, we worked it out. She ended up going. It had a happy ending. But you see, this is the same way people act when it comes to God. God writes us over and over and over and over and over again and says what? Not get travel insurance, but trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, that kind of is travel insurance, actually. But they say, and he says, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's your way out of your predicament. That's the way that you don't have to face the judgment of God. But the penalties are firm. Take out travel insurance with Jesus. And then we have people who say, no, I don't want to do it. And at the end of their life, then they say God's unfair for enforcing the penalties that he said were going to be there, that he's been warning them their whole life is going to be there. I'm sorry, friends. God is not unfair. People are just foolish. God is not unfair. You say, all right, Ilan, maybe so. But then I got another objection. My third objection is, well, what about people who've never heard about Jesus Christ? I mean, like Oprah was talking about in the video. What about somebody who lives somewhere and the name of Jesus is not common there like it is in America? It's not common there like it is in Europe. You know, what about those people? Well, listen to what the Bible says, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature, these are the two things, his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly on display in our natural world so that people are without excuse. What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that there is enough about God revealed in the natural world, in creation, so that every human being ought to be able to look around and recognize that there is a mighty creator God out there somewhere. We ought to be able to look at the trees. We ought to be able to look at the stars. We ought to be able to look at the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom. We ought to be able to look at the unbelievable complexity of the human body. And we ought to be able to say, duh, I didn't make all this. Duh, no human being I know could have made all of this. Duh, I don't really think it could have happened by accident. There has got to be a creator somewhere out there that's bigger and more powerful than we human beings are. That might have been him right there. Saying, yes, you're right. Now, when people get to that point, then God takes it upon himself to make sure they get more information so that they can close the deal and believe in Jesus Christ. And I know that's true because, friends, that is exactly what happened to me. Back in the summer of 1965, how many of you were born in 1965? Raise your hand. Uh-huh. Okay. Back in the summer of 1965, I was between my junior and senior year in high school. And I went to a summer seminar at Virginia Tech, sponsored by the National Science Foundation. And they had kids from all over the country that came. And we spent 6 weeks at VTech in Blacksburg. And here's what we did. In the afternoon, we all worked on independent research projects. And in the morning, we all took a class together. And that year, the class was on enzymes. Do you know that in your body, even as you sit here today, there are literally thousands, tens of thousands of enzyme reactions going on in your body as you sit here today, and that's the only reason your body works. If one single enzyme is missing or defective in your body, you would have very, very serious illness or be dead. And you know, enzymes are a funny thing. They are each code specific. Meaning every one of them will only do their job, and if some other enzyme is missing, they won't pick up and do the job of some other enzyme. Enzymes have a union contract, if you understand what I mean. And they'll only do their job, and that's it. Now, we studied this, and we learned about that, and I will never forget about halfway through the summer, it was one hot July day, I came walking back from this morning class impressed at the unbelievable complexity of the human body. That this could have happened by accident was preposterous to me. And I remember as a young Jewish boy standing on the steps of my dorm. It was a bright sunny day just before I went into my dorm room. And I remember saying out loud as I looked up at the sky, there has got to be a God. There has got to be a God. Now, I didn't know this God. I had no idea that Jesus Christ was even connected to this God. I had never read the Bible. I had no personal acquaintanceship with this God. But Romans 1:20 had come true in my life. I had looked around the natural world enough to say there has got to be a God. And you know what happened? God sat up in heaven and he said, good for you, Solomon. Good for you, son. You got it. Good for you. You're not as stupid as I thought you were. Good for you, son. Now, I'm going to get you the rest of the information you need to close the deal, son. And you know what? 5 years later, walking down the streets of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I bumped into a street preacher standing on the streets of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, named Bob Eckhart, who handed me a tract and struck up a friendship with me, and 4 or 5 weeks later led me to Jesus Christ. I didn't go looking for him. He came looking for me. And do you know that to this day, Bob Eckhart is still living down in South Carolina. He's in his 80s. Do you know to this day, he and I do not know one single person other than I who came to Christ because of his ministry. He came to Chapel Hill every Saturday for 6 months, stood on the streets, handed out tracts. And you know what? As far as we know, I'm the only person to come to Christ through his ministry. I believe God sent Bob Eckhart to Chapel Hill just for me. And I believe the reason God did that is because 5 years before, I stood on the steps in Blacksburg, Virginia, and said, there has got to be a God. And God said, good for you, pal. Now I'm going to give you the chance to know me. I'll get you the rest of the story.
For the conclusion of this message, please turn your tape to side 2.